Morning. How's everybody? Welcome again. Your title this morning is this: A Joyful Encounter with Transforming Mercy and Grace. A Joyful Encounter with Transforming Mercy and Grace. How many of y'all had an encounter with mercy and grace? Amen. Guess what? If you're saved, you've had an encounter. Amen. Sometimes, even if you haven't got completely saved yet, you can still have that encounter. Amen. Yeah, and you're just holding off for yourself, being a human, rather than turning everything over to God. Amen. So again, your title is this: Joyful Encounter with Transforming Mercy and Grace. Your scripture today, we got two of them today. First one is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 through 12. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 12. And then the second one we're going to read is Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. So we're going to go ahead and start out with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or 4, verse 5 through 12. And the NIV version says it this way: For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. As your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, amen, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our own body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death of Jesus for Jesus' sake, so that life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen. And Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 3:6, NIV version says this: On the Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick up some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing that? What is unlawful on a Sabbath Sunday?" And he answered them. He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he was in the companion, where he was hungry, and where him and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Chapter 3 says, "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everybody.' And Jesus asked him, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save a life or kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored." Amen. I'm glad he restores us today. Amen. Verse 6 concludes with this: "Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians about how they might just kill Jesus." Amen. Again, your title today, A Joyful Encounter with the Transforming Mercy and Grace. So we gather today, brothers and sisters in Christ, to reflect on a powerful passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. In Corinthians 2, chapter 4, verse 5 through 12, Paul addresses the natures of the Christian ministry and the paradox of strength and weakness. And again, chapter 2. For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in your hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Amen. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus can be revealed in our body to somebody else. Amen. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but the life, his life, is at work in you. Amen. We got to preach Christ. When we go out into the world, we got to preach Christ and not ourselves. Amen. Paul reminds us, or begins by reminding us, that the message is not about myself. It's not about yourselves. Amen. I started to look at the camera and go, online. It's not about us. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. Amen. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, not Ronnie as Lord. Amen. Not Matt as Lord. Not anybody else in here as Lord. Amen. This is a critical reminder in a world that we often live in now that celebrates so much self-promotion, and individual achievements. Our role as Christians is tied direct to others. Our role as Christians is to direct others to Christ. There we go. To make Him known, not us. Amen. We see a lot of TV preachers right now that is too much about them, not really showing about Jesus' love. Amen. Not about Christ, but it's more about what they think they can do. Amen. Hey, if they're preaching their them ministry, they're wrong. Amen. But nobody's going to get Christ in that type of ministry. But we got to direct others to Him, to make Him known, serve others for His sake. In doing so, we acknowledge that our ministries and our lives, each and every day, are not about drawing attention to ourselves, amen, but about glorifying the true, loving God, amen. We have to be a light in this darkness in this world that we have right now. Paul speaks of God's command, "Let light shine out of darkness." This echoes the creation narrative in Genesis, where God brought light into the void. And similarly, God shines His light into each one of our hearts, giving us the knowledge of His glory through Jesus Christ. This divine light transforms us, each one of us, and enables us to be beacons of light and hope in this dark-filled world, in the darkness that we live around. Amen. Our understanding of God's glory seen in Christ becomes a guiding light for each one of us and for those around us. And the third thing is this. We have a treasure in the jar of clay. One of the most profound images in that passage is the treasures the jars of clay. The treasure represents the gospel and the knowledge of God's glory. The jars of clay symbolize our human frailty and imperfections. This contrast highlights that the power and the glory belong to God and not us. Amen. Our weaknesses and limitations serve to magnify God's strength through us and His power in us. Amen. In our vulnerability, God's power is made perfect, isn't it? And we also have to look at the paradox of the Christian life. Paul continues with a series of the paradoxes. Hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I think it might be a song now. Amen. These phrases capture the tension and the realities of each one of our Christian lives daily. Amen. We face trials, don't we? We face challenges. But we are all sustained by God's power and not ours. Our sufferings are not meaningless, are they? They allow the life of Jesus to be revealed in us. When we endure hardships for Jesus' sake, His life becomes evident in each one of our mortal bodies. We also have to look at the death and life at work. Finally, Paul speaks of the dynamic between death and life. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. As Christians, we experience both death and life simultaneously, don't we? We die to ourselves, our sinful nature, and our desires, so that the life of Christ can be manifested in each one of us. This sacrificial living that we do brings life to others. Our suffering and our sacrifices for the sake of the gospel contribute to the spiritual life and the growth of our communities. So let's take these words to heart. Our lives, our ministries are not about us, are they? They're not about you. They're not about me. Amen. It's not about the name 3 Mile. Amen. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about proclaiming Christ and serving others. We're called to be, or to shine God's light into that dark world, to carry the treasure of the gospel in our fragile human vessels, and to embrace the paradox of strengths and weaknesses. In our struggles and sufferings, God's power and the life of Jesus are revealed through us. Amen. So as we turn our attention to the Gospel of Mark there, we find Jesus navigating through a series of encounters that reveal profound truths about the Sabbath, and more importantly, about the heart of God. Amen. So let's set you a little quick scene in that Mark scripture there that we read, 2:23-36. As Jesus and the disciples walked through the grain fields on the Sabbath, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees, ever watchful, challenged Jesus. "Look! Why are they doing that? What is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus responds to them by recalling how David, when in need, ate the consecrated bread, because he was hungry, wasn't he? Which was lawful only for the priest to eat. He then declares, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath." Amen. The narrative continues in the synagogue, where a man with a withered hand is present. The Pharisees watched closely, didn't they? Hoping to accuse Jesus if he heals the guy on the Sabbath. But Jesus uttered to him, Jesus was undeterred, right? He asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill?" And after healing the man, the Pharisees leave. plotting with the Herodians of a way to kill Jesus. There is a purpose of the Sabbath. The Pharisees confronted Jesus over the disciples' actions and the healing in the synagogue illuminates their misunderstanding of what the Sabbath was. They had turned the Sabbath into a rigid set of rules, missing its true essence. Jesus' statement, the Sabbath was made for man, amen, not man for the Sabbath, reorients our understanding. The Sabbath was given as a gift from God to be a day of rest, a day of renewal, a day of restoration. It is a day for us to cease from our labors and to be reminded of God's provisions and care. We also see through these scriptures the heart of compassion. In both instances, Jesus places human need above the ritual observance. The disciples were hungry, and the man's hand needed healing, didn't it? Jesus demonstrates that compassion and mercy are at the heart of God's laws. When he asks, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good, to do evil, to save a life or to kill a life. He underscores that the Sabbath should be a day of doing good, reflecting on God's mercy and reflecting on God's love. Amen. We also see the authority of Jesus through these scriptures by declaring himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus asserts his divine authority over everything, forever and always. Amen. That's a radical statement to the Pharisees, who see him as a threat to their authority. But Jesus, as the Son of God himself, has the authority to interpret and to fulfill the law. His healing of the man with a withered hand is not just an act of compassion, amen, but it's a demonstration of his lordship and his mission to being holistic restoration to humanity. Now, how can we apply these today? How can we apply these scriptures to today? What do these passages teach us on how we live our faith for today? One is we can embrace the Sabbath intent. The Sabbath is more than a day off work. It is a true divine invitation to rest in God's presence, to be refreshed, and to extend that rest and refreshment to others. Let us not be so caught up in the rules that are around us and the rituals that we miss the opportunity to experience and share with God's grace. We can also prioritize compassion. Jesus prioritized human need and compassion over legalism, didn't he? In our daily lives, let us be driven by a heart of compassion, seeing needs around us and responding in love, not ritualistic. Even when it challenges the conventional norms that we see. And the third thing that we can do with it for application today is we can recognize Jesus' lordship. Acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of all aspects of our lives, including how we understand and observe the Sabbath. His authority calls us to go deeper, don't it? To have a more meaningful relationship with God. One that transcends mere rule following and enters into the realm of grace and truth. So in conclusion, the Sabbath is truly a gift for us. A time to remember and celebrate God's goodness. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, calls us to live out our faith walk with compassion, with mercy, reflecting the heart of God within us. May we be inspired to follow his example as we go through our daily lives, finding rest in Him and extending His love to those around us. Amen. As we go forth today, may we be reminded that we are truly vessels of God's glory. Let His light shine through each one of us. And may we find strength in our weaknesses, knowing that God's all-surpassing power is at work within us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing in Your message, Lord. I thank You for a word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank You for opening our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that You have for us today, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your awesome love for each one of us, Lord. For Your mercy, Your grace, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to come into Your house today, Lord, to learn a little bit more about You, Lord. Lord, to get a new feel on truly what the Sabbath is and what we should be celebrating each time we do it, Lord. That it is truly to recognize Your Lordship, Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. We just ask You to impress upon our heart each day that we may need it from here on out, Lord. Lord, we ask You sometime this week, Lord, that You put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we tell You Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love, Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for each and everything You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen.